Tataha Bhagavan Govan Hembatata Brajokasa Yatopajosham Vishata Girigartam Sagodhana.
The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish to come under this hill with your... The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur provides the following insight in this regard. Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan. However, because the hill was in ecstasy, being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. From the Haribamsa, the Acharya also quoted Sri Krishna himself as saying, Trilokyan apyutasahate arakshitum kim punar brajam. Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds, what to speak of the simple land of Braja. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs, and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. Yesterday, we discussed the history of Govardhan Hill. We also were explaining the inconceivable, almighty, supreme opulence of Lord Sri Krishna, which was revealed through his lifting of this beautiful hill of the name Govardhan. And how the Supreme Personality of Godhead has made the vow, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, that he will always protect his devotees. And how Krishna protects his devotees is not like the protection we receive in this ordinary mundane world. Otherwise, what is the difference between ourselves and Krishna? You see, in this world, people who have less faith in God, they are always making so many arrangements, sometimes small arrangements, sometimes grand arrangements, according to the circumstance, to protect themselves and to protect those who they love. When Krishna comes to protect his devotees, if it was according to our logical ability to understand, there would really be no need for Krishna to come down to do it himself. Avajananti mam mudha manushintanam ashutam.
Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudhoyam nabhi janati lokumam ajam avyayam.
Krishna says, foolish people who are covered by the curtain of maya, they cannot understand me as I am. They take me to be like one of them. After all, there are powerful leaders and kings who have great armies to protect us. And there are so many security devices available in the marketplaces today that man has created to protect us. All sorts of gates and locks and alarms. And there is also people who take shelter of protecting themselves by various forms of martial arts, like judo or karate or kung fu or boxing or wrestling. Huh? And there is also so many people who try to protect themselves through political manipulation and diplomacy. And also people try to protect themselves through grand scientific study and investigation to try to counteract the natural elements and catastrophes of the world. But we find that despite so many millenniums of developments of these different sciences and these different endeavors, no one can protect themselves, ultimately. Sometimes people try to protect themselves through health. I have often said, there was a man when I was at Urli Kangchen, that place near Pune, it's a naturopathic institute of health. And they have all these books by this man who people claim to be the healthiest man in the history of the world as we know it. He was a man who was suffering of terrible diseases when he was young. And he decided by fasting and by certain types of diet, he would get his health very good. And sure enough, he cured all his diseases. There was, they say there was practically no mucus in his whole body. He was full of vigor. He was full of life. They had tests on him. All kinds of clinical tests. They had never seen such a specimen of good health, perfect health. And of course, when you would discover something wonderful, you want to share it with the world. So he was traveling, especially around Europe and America, giving lectures on good health. He was only about 45 years old, and he just gave a lecture in Los Angeles, how by following his particular regimen of fasting, diet, exercise, one can easily live way beyond 100 years old. And everyone was convinced of his great knowledge. And then he was leaving that lecture hall, and he was on his way to his automobile, and there happened to be some oil on the street, and he slipped and fell in the oil and cracked his skull and died, Haribo. Now I know people who eat jalebis and gulab jamuns and never fast and they're overweight and they don't do any exercises and they live till 70, 80, 90 years. He only lived 45. Similarly, the king, the acharya, the master of martial arts. No need to mention any names, but anybody who knows martial arts know who he is. He made movies, best-selling movies, where he's just jumping in the air and kicking people in the face. And all kinds of nice asanas he was performing to poke people's eyes out and permanently damage people's limbs and all these things. And he was a teacher. And everybody, every martial art paraphernalia, they would advertise it with his name. He was considered he was just a little guy, but he was so powerful and he was so quick. And he was so expert and scientific. Nobody could defeat him in fighting. He was only in his 30s. And he got cancer and died. So what is the use? What kind of protection is that? He got some disease and just died. And we find even the most powerful man in the world is considered the President of the United States. Mr. Kennedy, President of the United States, everyone was glorifying him, and he was waving to everyone from his convertible car in Dallas, Texas. Finished. He was only in his early 40s. All the CIA, all the FBI, all the United States Navy, Air Force, Army, Marines. He had them all under his control. He couldn't protect himself. And recently, the last president, such a powerful person, and yet he lost the elections. He was kicked out. Now he's just an ordinary common man again. So, tell me, we're speaking of the people who are in the highest positions of so-called protection, self-defense, and power. And they are all ultimately defeated, destroyed. Therefore, as we have explained, just like the mighty river when it flows, the most powerful mammal on the earth is the elephant. And when it goes into the current of the powerful river, it is washed away and destroyed. But the little tiny fish, what is the difference between a little fish and an elephant in power and strength? There's no comparison. But the fish can swim upstream, downstream, across stream effortlessly. Because the fish has learned how to take shelter of the river. Therefore, all the power of the river is there for its protection. But the elephant, because it is trying to resist the river with all of its mammoth strength, it is ultimately destroyed. So this material nature is all powerful, and it conquers everyone. In the force of time, Krishna will take away all of your wealth, all of your influence, all of your power, all of your strength. He will take away everything. Time is it's compared often to a river. And it keeps flowing. It never stops. Through generations and generations and generations, all of our forefathers have been standing on the bank of that river, watching this river flow. It just keeps on rolling along. Nothing can stop it. And as long as we in any way, shape, or form try by our own means to resist the power of this river, which washes away everything and everybody, then we will be defeated. But if we simply learn how to take shelter, mayadhyakshena prakriti, daivi hyeshu guna mayi mama mayadhyatyaya, mama evam ye prapadyante mayameta tarantite. Krishna says this river of material existence is all powerful. It's very difficult to overcome. It's impossible to overcome, save and except if one surrenders to me. If one takes shelter of me, one can easily cross this river of material existence. One can be free. To the degree we have material attachments, to that degree we are bound and enslaved. Whether we are a poor man in the ghettos attached to our pennies, our paisas, or whether we're rich men attached to our crores upon crores of rupees. Either one. As long as you have attachment, you are a slave. You are in bondage. You are shackled.
you are in prison. If you are attached to your home becomes a prison. If you are attached too much materially to your family members, Bhagavatam explains, they become your enemies. They bind you. Anything we are attached to on a material platform. The example is given. Just like if you have a noose, a rope around your neck. As you pull it, it appears that you're getting more rope. You can't see what's happening to your neck. You only see what's coming out as you pull it. So you pull and you think, oh, look, I have more rope. And then you pull it tighter and you think, ah, more rope. Look, I'm gaining. And then you pull it tighter, more rope. And you pull it tighter, more rope. And you pull it tighter, and more rope. And you pull it tighter, and you're dead, huh? And you're thinking, I'm advancing in civilization. I have more and more and more. But the more you become attached to, the more you're choking yourself. You're strangling yourself. You're binding yourself. You're putting yourself in an impossible situation of suffering. And yet, human society, crazy. Prabhupada said it was suicidal. We're spending our whole life pulling as hard as we can, trying to get more rope. And we're strangling ourselves spiritually in the process. And if you try to tell somebody, why are you so attached? Why are you working so hard? Mahaprabhu has said, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari, that you are simply spending your days struggling, striving, endeavoring to decorate this dead body of yours? Just give it up and chant the names of Radha Madhava. But no. We want to keep pulling this noose around our neck. We want to increase our material attachments more and more and more and more and more. And we find that the more we increase our material attachments, the more we worry, the more we're in anxiety, the more we become insecure in our position. Because the more you have, the more people are attacking you to try to take it away. Huh? The more famous you are, the more people are going to try to create infamy upon you, because people are envious by nature in this material world. The more you have of anything, that means the more enemies you get. And the more you have, the more you want. Insatiable fire. And when you try to explain this to people, they think that this philosophy is impractical. But the fact is, we are in a prison, and we're working so hard to fortify the steel, and we're working so hard to make the walls thicker and more inescapable. Can you imagine such a crazy person? He's in prison, and he's being misused in that prison, and he's working day and night to make the prison more fortified and more impossible to escape from. Huh? He's spending his days and nights just making the walls stronger, making the doors stronger, more making the locks better. I think this man is crazy. Why doesn't he work to get out instead of working to stay in? But this is the power of Maya. This is the power of illusion. That we think by our endeavors we can protect ourselves, and we're so proud. But here we find that when Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he is called upon by his devotees for shelter, Krishna protects his devotees in such wonderful ways that are unimaginable and unattainable by any living being. When Indra was throwing his mighty thunderbolts upon Brajbhumi, and when he sent the Samvataka clouds, torrents upon torrents of rain, These are not ordinary rain clouds. These are the rain clouds that are reserved specifically and exclusively for the purpose of the devastation at the end of the day of Brahma. When the Samvataka clouds start pouring their rain, within minutes, this whole earth swells up with so much water that all the oceans become so high that they merge, and the whole earth planet becomes one gigantic ocean. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and the ocean raises to the sky. Drops do not come, but like buckets just falling from the sky, from these great clouds. And just to make matters worse, just to create, to add insult to injury, the Samvartaka clouds were not only pouring water, but they were throwing at terrible speed gigantic hailstones upon the residents of Vrindavan. And there were high winds that became very dark. And the Brijbasis, they knew that what can they do to protect themselves? They didn't even consider trying to protect themselves. It was the last thing in their mind. The only thought was, let us go to Krishna. In life or in death, if we have Krishna, we have everything. If Krishna wants to protect us, what can Indra or any of these clouds do to even move one hair upon our head? And if Krishna wants to destroy us, what possibility do we have to escape? He is the supreme controller. He is the lord of everything. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prays in this way. Maro Bi Rako Bi Jo Icha Tohar. He says that, my lord, you are my master, I am your servant. You have any right to deal with me in any way you please. If you want, you can kill me right now on the spot. Or if you like, you can protect me from all the dangers of creation. I am yours. I am surrendered to you. You know what is best for me. I have that faith. The residents of Vrindavan came before Krishna. Krishna, the cows are very dear to you. The cows are suffering. Please protect them. And if you like, you can protect us also, as you wish. So Krishna sang that his devotees were exclusively coming to his lotus feet for protection, without any personal consideration outside of himself. He wanted to show the world, do not be afraid of anything, any condition of life, because if I'm on your side, nothing can defeat you. Let me ask you all this. Think about it. Whatever problems you have in this world, what does it compare to the residents of Vrindavan having the wrath of Indra upon them? Huh? Have you ever been in such a dangerous situation in life? But the residents of Vrindavan, because they turned to Krishna, Krishna wanted to do something wonderful. With the little finger of his left hand, which is considered the weakest part of one's whole body, he used the weakest part of his body. Of course, for him, every part of the body is interchangeable. It all has supreme, ultimate strength. But for an ordinary being, the little finger of the left hand is perhaps the weakest part of the body. So just to totally insult and humiliate Indra, he used the little finger of his left hand to hold Govardhan Hill. He lifted it like a little child picks up a mushroom. And he held it effortlessly for 7 days. And here he is saying to the Brijbasis, O Mother Jashoda Mai,
Nanda Maharaj, oh, all Brijabasis, if you wish, you may now come under the hill with your cows. He's inviting them. Hospitality, come now under this mountain. Be safe, no problem. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining in his commentary here, how is it possible? Do you know how expansive Braj Bhumi was? That Nanda Maharaj himself had 900,000 cows, and there were so many cowherd boys and so many gopis, and plus there were goats and buffaloes and so many other wonderful devotees of the Lord. And it is explained that Govardhan Hill was a medium-sized hill. So how is it possible that the entire civilization of Braj Bhumi was able to fit under this hill? Because of Krishna's divine loving touch upon that hill, it is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti that Govardhan, Giriraj, had experienced such divine ecstasy that Ananda Shakti of Krishna empowered Govardhan Hill to perform inconceivable powers, inconceivable feats, and it was able to give protection to everyone. In fact, if Krishna wanted, he could have lifted an ordinary little mushroom, and he could have given shelter to the whole creation under that little mushroom, if he so desired. Because this is his achintya shakti. This is the difference between ourselves and God. Whatever Krishna wills is done. He is the Supreme Master, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindakar Sarvakarana Karanam. And it is explained here that even though Indra was he was throwing the most deadly thunderbolts upon Govardhan Hill, because the hill was being touched by Lord Sri Krishna's divine finger, Radha Gopinathji ki. The massive thunderbolts of Indra felt like pleasurable flowers on Govardhan's body. Huh? And it is explained that the wild animals of Braj Bhumi, such as the deer and the wild hogs and birds, the forest creatures, during this massive storm, they climbed on top of Govardhan Hill. They climbed where all the rain was falling and all the thunderbolts were crashing down. Can you imagine? It's like if someone shoots a bullet at you, shoots an arrow, let's be more Vedic. If someone shoots an arrow at you and you have a shield and you go in front of the shield, huh? Is that, what will happen? If you go behind the shield, you think, I'll be protected. But what if you run in front of the shield? By material logic, you're dead. So these wild animals of Braj Bhumi, although Govardhan Hill was being served as a shield, an umbrella to protect all the Brijvasis, all the Brijvasi wild animals, they went on top of the hill. And yet, they didn't feel the slightest inconvenience, because Krishna's little finger was touching. It's a big mountain. The only part that was touching was the little finger. At one little tiny point, there was a connection between Govardhan Hill and Krishna. But because of that insignificant, according to our senses, connection between the hill and Krishna, imagine
Krishna's great artistic quality. Sometimes we go to the circus and pay good money to see a juggler, how he can balance things. Krishna balanced an entire mountain on his finger. Huh? Instantly, effortlessly. But because that finger was touching Govardhan Hill, he invested such divine ecstatic qualities within Govardhan Hill that even those who were on top of the hill simply felt his ecstasy, his love. That is Ananda Shakti. They simply felt the ecstatic touch of Krishna. And the thunderbolts and all the rains simply gave them pleasure, could not harm them. No one was even the slightest bit disturbed, whether they were on the hill or under the hill. This is Krishna's supreme, almighty, inconceivable power. And Krishna performed this wonderful pastime, many reasons, but one such reason is just to install faith in the heart of his devotees for all time to come, that if I want to protect you, do not worry. Nothing can harm you. No one can harm you. Sarva dharman paritya yamam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi shami masucha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This pastime of Govardhan is Krishna's own personal illustration of the essence of this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman paritya. In the Gita, he's promising, I will protect you, do not fear, just surrender to me. And here he is showing practically how he protects his devotee. And they have nothing to fear and no one to fear. Look at little Prahlad. Although he was put through so many atrocities, he never feared. He was only a 5-year-old child. He had no power to defend himself in any way, shape, or form. But he had faith in Krishna. He knew if I surrender to Krishna, I'm safe. And he was surrendering with his life and soul. So, here in our beautiful temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, by his causeless mercy, Krishna has appeared as Sri Gopal, sometimes known as Sri Nathji. And here he is in his divine lila of lifting the Govardhan Hill and giving protection to his devotees. And the fact is that we are all in his divine presence. When we come to the temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, we should be coming not only to praise him and to glorify him, but to recognize his supreme power as Girivaradhari and to take shelter of this divine form and seek no other shelter anywhere. Because if you seek shelter anywhere else from anyone else, Krishna will not give you his complete shelter. To the degree you take shelter of him, he will give you shelter. To the degree you go elsewhere, he will hold back. Krishna is our only shelter. He is our only Lord. He is our life and our soul. Is there any questions?
I think this is a practical problem for all those people who are there in business or a profession. As Maharaj, you are saying that the more and more we have material desire, the more and more it is a pulling of a neck. It's a fact, but I think this is a practical problem that those people who are there in business or a profession or those who are even having their own factory or something, there's so much competition in this market. There's a struggle for existence to such an extent. We don't want any expansion, we don't want any diversification, We don't want to increase anything in our business. But just to maintain our position, it's not so that we want to be very high something, but just to maintain our position, because the market's competition is so high in the material world, we have to strive our level best just to maintain our position. Now to maintain to that level, because we have to just strive it out, it so happens that we are engrossed into those activities more and more, more and more problems are coming into this life, and we are just forgetting the goal of life. Now, if you say that, okay, you forget about those competition also, then it's a bad preaching also. On the contrary, you feel, because we will not be doing a proper way as a proper devotee, because once we come into spiritual life, we have to show to the world also that we are doing both the things together in a proper way. But on one side, we have to think that, okay, you don't do all these things. And once we leave everything, it so happens that we are not doing proper justice to our business or a profession. And once we don't do any business and justice or profession, people will feel that you have become like a dull person doing all this Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And as far as material world is concerned, you are an off person altogether. So it is such a bad predicament. What we have to do, we can't understand. So can you just tell us that how we can go both the things together?
Arivo. You can take sannyas. That's one alternative. The other alternative is to follow the teachings of Gita. Karma nyeva dukaraste ma phaleshu dukashtana ma karma phala heturabhura ma te sangas dukaramani. That you have a right to perform your duty. And if you are in business, performing your duty means to be competitive. If you're a warrior, like Arjuna, his duty was to be competitive. After all, Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the most competitive possible marketplace. A battlefield. Huh? Do you think there was no competition in Kurukshetra? In business, people, you know, if you're not competing very strong to expand your business, then somebody else is going to steal away some of your market shares or steal away some of your power to control the consumers' minds and all of these things, huh? But in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if you were not fighting like anything in competition, you were dead. Huh? Krishna was preaching on this battlefield, the place of the most severe competition. And what competitors were against Arjuna? You know, we may think that we have the Birlas or the Tatas or somebody competing against us, but they had Bhishma and Karna and Drona, huh? Maharathis and Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was one of the least amongst the soldiers, and yet with one arrow he created Brahmastra, which had the power to destroy this entire earth planet. Huh? That's the type of competition that was in the marketplace of Kurukshetra. And Krishna told him, you fight. But he told him not to be attached. Not to be attached to success or failure, to victory or defeat. And most of all, not to be attached to the fruits of the actions. Not to be attached to taking the glory for yourself, or to enjoying the results for yourself. Simply be attached to my loving service, Krishna said. Do it for me, not for you, for me. Now this is the question. This is the difficult question. Whether you should compete or not, there's no question about it. If it is your duty, you must compete. But the difficult thing is this. In our competition, in what we are earning, are we doing it for our own sense gratification? Or are we doing it in the service of Lord Sri Krishna? Are we taking the fruits and enjoying it for our own respectability, recognition in society, or our own individual wealth? Or are we doing it as a sacrifice for Krishna?
if we're doing it as a sacrifice for Krishna, then what is that verse? Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokumam karma bandara taratam karma konte yamukta sanga samachara. That work that is done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed, because that work liberates you from all bondage. But any work done for any other purpose than the sacrifice for Vishnu will only fructify in bondage and pain, anxiety. Huh? So Krishna says, you work, you fight, you compete for me, as a sacrifice for me. Offer the fruits in my loving service. Do not keep it for your own personal sense enjoyment. Offer it to me. And for Krishna, we should be willing to fight. For Krishna, we should be willing to compete. For Krishna, we should be willing to be warriors and fight.
You are saying that we have to face the competition. Now the problem is this way, that if I face more and more competition, if I want to maintain it, I have to strive more and more time into the business or profession. And if I give more and more time to business and profession just to maintain my market share, I have to compromise my daily sadhana, I have to compromise my...
No, you should not compromise your daily sadhana. You do not have to do that. This is the illusion of Maya, that I have to do that. You do not have to do that. You can have perfect sadhana and still go out and do your work. Huh? But the more you get, the more you should give to Krishna. Huh? Yes?
You were saying that Krishna protected the residents of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill, like Lord Jesus Christ, he was crucified. Is he being protected by Krishna? I mean, it seems that he's...
But Mataji, that's what he did do to the residents of Vrindavan. First, he took everything away. It's not that he takes everything away forever. Yasya hamana grinami harishita dhanam shanai. Krishna says, I take everything away so that the devotee completely takes shelter of me and only me. The reason he takes everything away is to get that devotee to take complete shelter of him. But then afterward, he gives everything. He doesn't take. Ultimately, he gives. Huh? The name Hari means he takes away all inauspiciousness to give you all auspiciousness. He gives you something. He gives you. You just renounce a little temporary attachments, and he will give you eternal wealth. Ultimately, he doesn't take, he gives. The taking process is just to bring you to your knees, to take complete shelter of Krishna. You don't think he took everything away from the Brijbasis when all those rainstorms started coming and the hailstorms and the winds, and they saw their entire society, all their families, all their cows, their children, and their very lives about to be destroyed within seconds by the power of the most great demigod, Indra? You don't think he was taking things away? He took everything away from them. They had no hope left in their life except him. And when they ran to him, then he lifted Govardhan Hill and gave them the supreme satisfaction. And what did they have under Govardhan Hill? They didn't have anything except him. They didn't have their houses under Govardhan Hill. They didn't have any wealth. They didn't even have any food. They didn't even have anything. When they were under Govardhan Hill, they only had one thing: the darshan of Krishna. For 7 days they didn't eat, they didn't sleep, they just stood there practically motionless, just looking at Krishna, fully satisfied to have him. Huh? So he took everything away from them to give them complete meditation on him only. Huh? And you use the story of Jesus, yes. He was crucified, it appeared that he was everything was taken away from him. That was on Good Friday. But then what happened on Easter? Huh? The next Sunday, God gave him everything back.
He not only rose from the dead, but he attained eternal glory for doing so. So ultimately, Krishna gives everything. He just takes everything away so that we come and accept everything for him. Ultimately, Krishna doesn't take, he gives. Any other questions?
Maharaj, talking about taking everything, he also took away everything from Pandavas. Pandavas were totally surrendered to them, to Krishna. But then why did he take away everything for a period of time of 13 years? From Pandavas.
But then ultimately he gave them kingdom of the world. Huh? He also took everything away from Prahlad. But ultimately he made him the king of the world. So Krishna takes simply for the purpose. For the neophyte devotee,